This is the Fifth Quarter Podcast brought to you by Eastgate Ford. I'm Dave Woodard in for Rick Zamprin. Tie Cats win back-to-back games for the first time this season. Seems like a little bit of winning can cure all.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Yes, yes, yes. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, winner of back-to-back games tonight. They beat the Edmonton Elks 37-29. Good evening. Good morning, I guess it is. I'm Dave Woodard. Normally, your afternoon news anchor here on 900 CHML, filling in for Rick Zamprin, who I hope is asleep right now. He's got a show in just a few hours. So I'm going to be taking your phone calls, reading your text messages, your emails. I'll tell you how to do that. You can give me a call, 645-3221. That's 905-645-3221. You can also text me at that same number. You can email me at dave@900chml.com. And you can tweet at me at Dave Woodard News on Twitter. Those are the three best ways to get a hold of me. But first, let's go through a little bit of this game. I don't know about you, but when the game started, I was a little scared. That first play, the Hamilton Tiger Cats fumbled the opening kickoff and Edmonton recovered. There was a lot to be worried about in this game, I think, from the perspective of it's a short week, the Ticats playing the Argos next week. Is this a game that you kind of look past in order to kind of get through? And it kind of looked like that at the very beginning. And, of course, a field goal from Edmonton in that opening drive. They scored another field goal in the second quarter before James Butler finally got things going. Now, James Butler had a fantastic game, well over 100 yards running, a touchdown as well. He was really the catalyst for the Ticats to get things going in that second quarter. Now, right after that touchdown by James Butler, it did look like Edmonton was coming back. They came down the field, and they were close. They were within 10 yards of the end zone, and then Javian Elliott got an interception just before the half, and then the Ticats scoring a field goal, making it 10-6 at the half. And, of course, the second half, that was a whole game in and of itself, right? I mean, it was a huge difference between the first half and the second half. Far more scoring. There was also a lot in terms of running the ball on both sides, passing the ball deep. There was a lot more of that from Edmonton, and that was scary to me. I was worried a little bit about how the Ticats would respond to some of those deep passes, and of course, running James Butler helped. Matthew Schiltz, while he was in, was very good. And then, of course, he injured his left leg, an apparent left leg injury. Don't know what that's going to look like going forward. But in the end, it's a win. And, of course, during a win, we play Robert Song.
We love those cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. We'll crouch and snarl and bite and growl and win with all our might. We love those cats, those Tiger Cats, the team with the spirit and fight. For a whiskey wee wee and a ski wawa and on to victory.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing that after a win. And it may be early in the morning, but it makes it no less sweet. Of course, taking your phone calls on the Fifth Quarter tonight, I'm your host, Dave Woodard. 645-3221, the number you call or text. You can reach me also on Twitter at Dave Woodard News or email at dave@900chml.com. We go to our first caller, Alan in Toronto. How you doing, Alan?
Good, Dave. Good morning. Yes, it is morning.
It sure is, yep.
Have to feel for Edmonton. They're 19th straight loss at home, and they've been outscored 623-348, and tonight they had 179 penalty yards. You know, they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And the Ticats, they were sleepwalking the first half until that big bomb with about three minutes to go to Tim Scott. That kind of got them off the launch pad, too. But James Butler, he's come back from almost oblivion. The first four games, he had 49 carries for 199 yards, and tonight, 12 carries for 127 yards and 40 receptions. So he's off on the launch pad, too. So last year, I expected big things from James Butler, because last year he had 210 carries for over 1,000 yards, 1,060 yards. So, you know, I was a bit disappointed, but hopefully things will be better.
How much, Alan, do you think it has to do with the fact that, you know, it's a new team, it's a new system, you're learning all these things on the fly, and you're right out of the bat playing teams like the Alouettes, who are much improved. You're playing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. You're playing the Toronto Argonauts, some of the best teams in the league, and you're trying to learn a whole system while you're going against these teams.
Yeah, very good points. It's a new system and a new team, and you have to get adjusted. How about Taylor Powell? Welcome to the CFL. 17-yard TD pass, his very first in the CFL.
No kidding. It was amazing to see him out there, and actually it was funny when he was coming out. I had to start looking up some statistics on him just to be like, I don't know where this guy's from. I don't know who he is. Taylor Powell, he's a rookie, obviously. He's from Eastern Michigan, where he played his college ball. Go Eagles. His first pass was a touchdown in the CFL. I think that it's one of those, it makes me feel a little bit better knowing that if Schiltz can't go, if Bo Levi can't go, there's a guy in there who's confident that can throw the ball and isn't afraid to throw the ball. And I think that's the most important thing. Alan, who's your player of the game?
It has to be Butler, but honorable mention to Mark McAllister. He's a human highlight reel.
Oh, you know, Tyreek, yeah.
Dynamite speed and great breakaway speed, and he's a breath of fresh air. So honorable mention, but it's definitely who was I saying? Butler is the player of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure. Thanks for the call, Alan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was great listening to you. Thanks a lot.
Have a great night or morning, whatever. 905-645-3221 is the number that you call or text to get a hold of me. You can email me, dave@900chml.com. You can also reach me on Twitter, which is where Joe got me. Joe, he says, well, that game was better at times, but still a lot of work needed. For the second time in a row, player of the game is Butler. I hope that Schiltz is okay and one of the two are back next week. If not, Toronto will be a hard game to watch. Oski Wee Wee, thanks, Joe from Niagara. We're going to step aside for a break now, but you're listening to the fifth quarter of 900 CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Matt Schiltz leaves the game after a 27-yard gain. Taylor Powell now the quarterback for the Tiger Cats. It's a second and five from the Edmonton 17. Powell stays in the pocket. He's going for it. End zone. Touchdown. His first CFL pass is a touchdown to Tim White. Unbelievable. Tiger Cats increase their lead. They're up to 33 points. That's the most they've scored this season.
Unbelievable indeed. RJ Broadhead on the broadcast. Tiger Cats win tonight 37-29 against the Edmonton Elks. That's two in a row. Two games in a row they've won now. It makes it look a lot different than it did just a couple of weeks ago. I remember listening to the fifth quarter with Rick after going 0-3. People were calling for heads. People were saying, we're done. We're not going to make the Grey Cup. It's over. It's 18 games in a season, people. Just relax. And you know what the thing is that, yes, I know we're down possibly two quarterbacks. And it is something, though, that we're starting to see signs of a very good team. And I also know who we've played in the last 2 weeks. The Ottawa Red Blacks, who have just won one game, and the Edmonton Elks, who have now set a new record for losing at home. I understand that. I get it. But also know that this defense has become somewhat of a ball hawk defense. A couple of picks today. A couple of picks against the Ottawa Red Blacks on Saturday. Fumbles, fumble recoveries. Guys who you expected to perform, guys like Jameer Thurman, guys like Simone Lawrence, are looking like Jameer Thurman and Simone Lawrence. And here's the good thing. They're just getting used to playing with each other. Jameer Thurman came from Calgary last season. He's learning a whole new defense. He even said to one of the reporters this week that he's still figuring out the playbook. If Jameer Thurman is still trying to figure out the playbook and he's playing like this, wait until he actually, you know, does well. And Mark Washington, as a defensive coordinator, you know, he's doing very well. We know that he gets his defenses up for these kinds of games. And here's the other thing, is that the defenses played well in the first three games. They just didn't make the stops when they needed to. And that's what led to them giving up a lot of points in those first three games. And I'm not saying they played great today because they still gave up 29, although most of that was in garbage time. But they are playing much better and they are figuring it out. And I'm excited to see next week's game against Toronto to see if maybe some of these things that happened in these 2 weeks go on. Because if they do, if you see a good Hamilton defense against that Toronto offense, could be interesting. Now, of course, if Bo Levi Mitchell is still out, if Matthew Schiltz is out for any length of time, and we have to go with a Taylor Powell, who I had actually written down Tyler Powell because I didn't know who he was at first. Had to go to his Twitter account, where everything, by the way, is all Eastern Michigan except for one little line on his bio that says CFL quarterback Ticats. He actually has played in CFL preseason against the Argos, actually this season, back on May 26th. He played the pregame, preseason game, rather, against the Argos. And he actually played quite well. He completed 20 of 26 passes for almost 300 yards and two touchdowns. And I realize that it's a preseason game in the CFL, but that's not nothing. And the fact that he had the guts to go and throw when he could have just handed it off to James Butler again. He was that close into the end zone. And certainly, I know you Tommy Condell haters out there will say that he doesn't do anything different, that he's too cautious, he's too conservative a play caller. But having a guy who's never thrown a pass in the CFL before throw to Tim White for a touchdown for his first pass, that ain't conservative. That's not somebody who says, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do any actual changes of my play calling. We'll just, you know, change it. Also, I do want to say one thing about people who call in about Tommy Condell. And you're welcome to call in and challenge me on this. 905-645-3221. You can text me there as well. Again, Dave at 900CHML is the email. And on Twitter is Dave Woodard News. Tommy Condell always gets blasted on this station during the fifth quarter by you guys because he's not a great play caller, so you say. He never changes things up, so you say. Tonight, what's one of the things that you always talk about? He always passes the ball and it's never far enough. Tonight, he rode the hot hand in James Butler. Smart move. He's never run like that before because oftentimes what happens? quarterbacks or the Tiger Cats throw the ball. They decide not to give it to the running back. We had these calls, you know, game after game after game last year. Give the ball to Jackson. You know, just hand the ball to the running back. We need a running game. Run the ball. It makes our defense look better. Takes time off the clock. Oh no, why does Dane Evans have to throw it? Tonight, Tommy Condell not only ran the ball down the throats of the Edmonton Elks, he also had a lot of plays in there that used Tyreek in a much better Tyreek McAllister in a much better way. He uses guys like Tim White to their optimum. That 54-yard pass just before the half that made that touchdown possible, that was not conservative. So you want to sit there and say Tommy Condell, he's the reason why these Tie Cats are losing. Maybe you should change your mind. Just maybe. Getting a lot of text messages and tweets on Twitter from Jim. Well, Dave, I'm not sure if the Tie Cats played well or if the Elks are just that bad, but I'll take the win, two in a row. McAllister looked impressive, but I'm giving player of the game to Butler. So that's two. Let's see. Yeah, hopefully Schiltz's injury isn't as bad as it looked. Oski Wee Wee. Yeah, absolutely, Jim. That's one of my biggest concerns is what's going to happen if Matthew Schiltz is out. He just started looking very comfortable in the offense. He was making decent plays. He was making good throws. He was going down the field, which we haven't really seen a lot of this season so far. And understandable, you're trying to manage the game when you've got a essentially a backup quarterback. So I think that if Matthew Schiltz is injured for any length of time, I think, you know, it's going to be a challenge, right? I mean, Bo Levi Mitchell is on the 6-game injured list. Is he going to be ready? I don't think so. And, you know, you have a team in the Argos that even if he was ready, I think that you have to think that he's going to be a little bit behind the eight ball. Scott Hamilton says, Butler play of the game, best running back we've had since CJ. I'm going to assume that you mean CJ Gable. I wouldn't disagree. I think that, you know, they signed Butler in the offseason for this very purpose. You know, the guy was, you know, one of the best runners in the CFL. It has been for years. And I think he really is starting to show that both in Ottawa and tonight. Tonight, he just looked like a beast. Like, he was tackled so many times in the backfield, or seemingly so, and then got, you know, 3-4 yards out of it. Never mind that he was, you know, running quite well, too. So, I mean, it's just one of those games where you look at it and you say, okay, maybe we can do something out of this. For tonight, if you need to give me a call, if you want to give me a call about the game, the win, Tie Cats win 37-29 over the Edmonton Elks. My phone number here, 905-645-3221. You can text me that same number. You can email me, dave@900chml.com, or tweet at me at Dave Woodard News. This is the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford. We'll be back in a minute.
We're talking Tie Cats football. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
First and goal, handoff goes to James Butler. Here he goes again. He's going to get to the end zone. He dives. Touchdown, Tiger Cats. James Butler cannot be brought down. Once again, hit at the line of scrimmage, bounces off of it, keeps going, and gets his third touchdown of the season.
Oh, man, that was, you know what, that was one of those touchdowns that you're like, okay, if this guy gets in, then you know he's going to have a good game. And he did have a great game. James Butler had a touchdown, ran for well over 100 yards. Second game in a row that he's played really well, and definitely a big favorite of you for player of the game today. I want to hear your thoughts on the game. I want to hear who you think the player of the game was. Give me a call, 905-645-3221. You can text at that same number. Email me at dave@900chml.com, and you can also tweet at me at Dave Woodard News. Let's take a phone call, actually, from Jeff. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, man. You?
We're doing good. It was nothing negative to say. We were at the game. We're just driving home from it now. We were right in the front row behind the bench, and we had a great time. And
go Cats, baby.
Yeah, not too much to complain about for us, man.
No, I hear you.
Going in there and worried about going in and giving the Elks their first home win in 20 games, but you know, good thing went our way.
Yeah, how'd you feel, Jeff, after that first fumble on the kickoff? Did you get a little like I know for me, I got that little pit in my stomach, you know, the one that makes you feel a little ill. Did you feel the same?
Oh yeah, we were on the edge of our seat. Oh yeah, it was the first half was kind of nerve wracking, to be honest.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I mean it's one of those things. Even at the half, Jeff, when it was 10-6. My mind kept on going back to last week when Ottawa came back in that last little bit of the second quarter. And I'm like, well, Hamilton better get on it in the second half. And if they don't, we're going to have the same kind of result as what Ottawa did last week. So I'm glad you got to the game. I'm glad that you got to be a part of history. You know that, right, Jeff?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, not a good part of history, but, you know, it is what it is. Jeff, who's your player of the game, man?
Going to go with Butler.
Oh, yeah.
Really good to have a running game again. It's been a while.
It really has. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. Absolutely. 37-29, the final score. Hamilton Tiger Cats. Big win on a Thursday night in Edmonton. Now, I was saying about how this was a historic night. And what I mean by that is that the Elks have actually lost 20 straight home games. And that's dating back to October 12th, 2019. How long ago was that? Do you remember a time before COVID? I don't. It's a long time to lose games for. The only other team in North American major professional leagues that has had a similar string of futility, the 1953 St. Louis Browns. That's Major League Baseball. They turned into the Baltimore Orioles years later. That's 70 years ago. And I don't know if you heard in the post-game show, if you're listening to Terrestrial, but they were talking about the next three games for the Edmonton Elks are Winnipeg, BC, Winnipeg. They're going to have this all to themselves in a week. But not to, you know, belabor the point. I don't want to, you know, kick the Edmonton Elks fans while they're down. I mean, they're probably feeling down as it is. Kevin, how you doing tonight, Kevin?
I'm doing well. You know, I watched the whole game. I missed actually the first kickoff. I didn't see it.
Oh, okay, you didn't miss anything.
Well, my wife asked me if I saw it or not, right?
And
I was like, no, I didn't. And then she told me what had happened. I didn't realize at the time.
Yep.
So I wasn't really shaken by that. You know,
okay.
Not in the same way as if I was watching it, like, live or something like that. I'll get player of the game, McAllister. I'll go with him, actually, instead of Butler. Because
okay.
I think you need those, like, high-energy plays. And it's a shame that, you know, because of a penalty, a holding call behind the play.
Yeah.
That got called back. That was a takeaway from him, a takeaway for the fans that were there, you know.
Yeah.
It's just too bad. Outside of that, you know what? One of the things that I've heard when people want to bash on Tommy Condell is actually not so much that he runs the same plays over and over and over again. Mm. It's that his playbook is too deep.
Oh, okay.
And it's really hard for a lot of the quarterbacks and the players to capture because it's just too much volume of various plays.
Right.
It's quite cerebral. And
got
it's
you.
A problem. Right? So, having said that, I don't know. I'm not going to go down that road. What I will say, though, is that, you know, they did a lot of inroads as far as not taking as many bad penalties. Normally,
yep.
they average like 10 penalties per game. Tonight, I think they were like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Still not great, but it's an improvement, right? And
yeah.
the other thing that you got to look at is, you know, when they go into Toronto, right, whether or not they're improving against better teams. I know when you're talking about Ottawa, when you're talking about, you know, Edmonton, these are teams that, for the most part, people feel they should beat.
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
I don't want to justify that it's okay to give up points, like 19 points in garbage time. I don't think that that's acceptable
sure.
either. I think you should just keep going. And that's what you see in the better teams.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
You don't see them relent. They
no.
don't sit back. They just keep trying to put points up. Right?
I hear you. I hear you, Kevin.
There's no mercy rule.
No,
right?
Exactly.
So you keep going.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, I think, Kevin, that I look at it and, you know, I mean, points scored for and against are kept for obvious reasons if there's a tiebreaker, right? And if you gave up 19 points in garbage time in a game and you end up losing out on the playoffs by because you were tied with somebody but you lost on points, that hurts, right? And that's the tough part. Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate your time.
Well, yeah, it was great talking to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you
Bye.
Take care. Good night. Good morning. Whatever it is. It's 1:10 in the morning. You're listening to the fifth quarter for East Kate Ford. You can call me still, 905-645-3221. You can text me at that same number. You can email me, dave@900chml.com, or you can tweet at me at Dave Woodard News, which is where Richard got me. James Butler, player of the game, exceptional performance tonight. Elliott and Kansantonis INTs were awesome, right place, right time. Glad I stayed up after the first quarter because that didn't look so good. I hope Schultz is okay. He's been doing great. Powell getting that TD was nice to see. It sure was. And I don't know. We're sitting here watching the game. And when Powell came in, you got a sense that he wasn't afraid of getting the ball. He wasn't scared to throw the ball. He wasn't. He looked like he had a presence within the huddle. I didn't feel normally when a backup comes in. I was at the game last year when Dane Evans came out and Matthew Schultz came in, and they just basically ran him over and over and over again. And I thought, oh yeah, this is not going to end well. This is not going to be very good. But for Powell to throw the ball essentially on his second play from scrimmage and to throw a touchdown, that shows me that not only does he have the confidence in himself to do it, but the team has the confidence in him to do it. And the players have the confidence in him to do it as well. I like Kevin's point, actually, about Tyreek McAllister, too. And it was interesting because I don't think the stats bear out that he had as good a game tonight as he did against Ottawa. But there was certainly that energy that you get from McAllister that you don't get from other players. Even on that punt return for a touchdown that was called back, he was flying down the sidelines. We were watching it here, listening to it on the Ticat broadcast network. And it was just one of those things that you could hear you could see how fast he was going, and you could see that it's one of those opportunities for these players to sit there and go, okay, we got to live up to that. We have a guy that we can look at and say, that's what I want to be. That's who I want to emulate. But James Butler definitely had a great game again. He had a touchdown and ran for well over 100 yards. Allen says, great win tonight. You need to run the rock to keep the defense honest. Absolutely. My player of the game is James Butler. Another one. Shout out to Jeff and Pigskin Harley from Hamilton, who made it to the game in Edmonton tonight. Oski wee wee. Absolutely. It was a fantastic game. 37-29. Ticats win back-to-back games for the first time this season. Matthew Schultz looked great in the first three quarters before he got hurt just before the fourth. Taylor Powell came in and threw a touchdown on his first pass in the CFL. And of course, James Butler looked great. The defense looked fantastic. If I did have one thing that I had an issue with. Actually, you know what? No. I'm going to hold that for the last segment here on the fifth quarter. You're listening to the fifth quarter on 900 CHML. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old. You're listening to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Cornelius, another good play action, but he is way behind the line of scrimmage. Ja'Gara Davis brings him down. He throws it, though, and it goes right to Stavros Katsantonis. It's a pick six. Touchdown for Katsantonis, and the Tiger Cats increase their lead.
Absolutely. Great play there in the third quarter by Katsantonis. That was one of those times when you saw it and you thought, okay, I feel way better about this win now. You're listening to the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML. Still have time to get a hold of me. Our phone number here, 905-645-3221. You can text me as well at that number. You can email me, dave@900chml.com. You can also tweet at me like Randy did at Dave Woodard News. Randy says, player of the game, James Butler. Click. Sucks to see Matt Schultz go down. Hopefully he's not on the sixth game injured list. We did better on the penalties. Let's keep the momentum going. Absolutely. That was one of those things that I think if you look at the boxes that you want to check, if you're the Tiger Cats, you check off the defense. Last two games, they have been phenomenal, not just in being a stout defense that's not allowing a whole lot of yards, but other than garbage time in this game, I'm not going to count that. But they're also a good ball hawk defense. They've had a ton of turnovers over the last two games. Now, again, I'm not going to discount the fact that they were playing the Edmonton Elks and the Ottawa Red Blacks, but you have to beat the teams that you have to beat, right? I mean, how would you feel if you beat the Toronto Argos or the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but you went into Edmonton and lost? I don't think you'd feel any better. If not, you'd probably feel worse. So yes, okay, yes, you lost to the Argos. Yes, you lost to Winnipeg. Yes, you've lost to the BC Lions. I think all of those are you look at that and you say, okay, three losses on the record, three good teams. You want to win those if you want to get to the Grey Cup. You need to win those games if you want to go to the Grey Cup. But you have to beat the teams that you want to beat. So, yeah, defense, check. Offense, let's stay with the running game. Okay, so I don't want to get into passing now because it's a little bit of a shady situation right now because you don't have Bo Levi. Matthew Schultz went down today. We don't know the extent of that injury. Taylor Powell looked good, but I'm not going to comment on the passing game just because we don't know what it is. We know we have good receivers. We know that we have, people that run good routes. We have people that can run fast. Tim White caught a pass for 54 yards. That was great. But let's talk about the running game. Big old check. James Butler is, as they say, who we thought he was. He came in. We thought he was going to run the ball a lot. We thought he was going to get a lot of yards in the first three games. That was in doubt. We didn't know how well he was going to do. After those three games, the last two games, he has played very, very, very well. And he's had the vast majority of the player of the game votes tonight here on the fifth quarter. So, okay, check mark beside the running game. We're doing well. Special teams. There's been a couple of times. Okay. Kicking is going well. We've been doing very well. We've had a lot of opportunities to kick field goals throughout the season. Mark Leggio has been playing very well. He's perfect for his CFL career with the Ticats, 10 for 10. Actually, I think it's 11 for 11 now. So, you know, that's a good part. But what really concerns me, the first play of the game, kickoff going to Tyler Tarnowski, who fumbles it. Okay, that happens. It's fine. He's not the guy who's supposed to catch the ball. It was a set play by Edmonton to try to go and get the ball back. And off the opening kickoff, smart play by Edmonton. We weren't ready for it. Okay, fine. I'm all right with that. The problem for me is in that garbage time that we had when there were, two onside kicks that were recovered? At least one. And that's what concerns me. You can't do that if you want to win games over a long period of time. Now, having a guy like Tyreek McAllister returning punts, I think that you can start to see that's going to help out. Returning kickoffs, giving you better a better field for your offense. I think that's important. I think that's going to be very helpful down the road. But I think if we have to be careful of onside kicks, we need to be careful of the penalties, like the hold on that McAllister punt return touchdown that got called back. Those are the things that concern me. I don't necessarily worry about the offense. That'll get sorted out. But the defense is playing like it should. The players that you expected that would show up have started to show up. Guys like Jameer Thurman, like I was saying earlier, playing very well. Had a forced fumble last week, had a couple of sacks, had he had close to 10 tackles. Very similar game tonight, although a little quieter. Simone Lawrence, again, playing much better. Chris Edwards, who I thought for sure earlier in the season, the Ticats were going to be like, okay, you can leave now. You're going to push a guy on the field because you've got your sour grapes. We don't need you on the team. We don't need that attitude. Comes back. He's had a couple of good games now. Now, what happens? You've got a good defensive line. Teddy St. Laurent playing very well. You've got fantastic linebackers. And your secondary is starting to step up. Not necessarily, again, garbage time. I don't want to talk about that too much because they call it garbage time for a reason. Still a chance to get your call in on the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford, 905-645-3221. You can hit me up on Twitter at Dave Woodard News, or you can email me at 900dave@900chml.com. Alan, Dave, welcome to your first quarter. Thank you very much, Alan. From St. Catharines, James Butler had an amazing game. Offensive line still messing up, but we keep the game close, and then we started kicking butt. Got scary when Schultz went down, but Powell did it for us. I love his style of play. I'm hoping he can pull it off next week, but let's hope Schultz is okay, but it doesn't look too good. Powell plays with calm and composure. That's exactly what I was saying. I hope that Edmonton player gets disqualified next game for what he did near the end of the game, poking the player in the eyes. Yeah, I think that's what I saw too, Alan. It's not easy to lose. It's certainly not easy to be 0-6, but you got to keep it on the inside. Toronto won't be easy next week, but I will go next week to make some noise at Tim Hortons Field. I have faith that our defense can cause some issues for Toronto. Let's pack the stadium next week. Our offense is trying to gel still at times, but our defense and special teams stepped up. I love Tyreek McAllister. Let's go, Cats. Player of the game for Allen and St. Catharines, Butler. Yeah, he had a great game. You know, I mean, he had a touchdown that tied the game at 6, and I think that is one of those issues. Would have been, I think that the offense played well enough to win, and I think that that's the most important part. Ben, this is a text that we got. Yeah, okay, so Edmonton got a ton of penalties. Do I think that's hindered their ability to keep any decent plays within a reasonable distance to get a first down? Ticats have struggled with penalties in the past, but seem to have cleaned that up. If Elks had fewer penalties, could this have been a closer game? Interesting, right? I mean, how many of Hamilton's games in the first little while could have been closer than they were had we not had the penalties? Here's the thing. Penalties are part of the game. You have to try to limit them. And if you take too many, you give up a lot. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. This is how things go. If you make a lot of penalties, you make it harder on yourself. And in a three-down league like the CFL is, it makes it very difficult. Because you try to run the ball, you get 3 yards, 4 yards, so you're 2nd and 6, which is still doable. You get a penalty, makes it 2nd and 16, 2nd and 21, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, we're going to throw the ball down 5 yards, see what they can do. Penalties hurt in the CFL a lot. And so, yeah, of course, I think had Edmonton done better, it would have been a closer game in terms of penalties. But thing is, they didn't, right? I mean, that's where it's at. I mean, Edmonton is dead last for a reason. And one of the things that I heard on the broadcast, and it was a very good point, which was even though you may be playing better, you may be getting to that point, when you're a losing team, you get those penalties. There were a couple of penalties, I will admit, that were kind of like, roughing the passer penalty. In the third quarter on the Eskimos, I thought that was okay. I thought that was above board. But it was also one of those things that when you call it, officials have a hard time picking up the flag after that because it's a difficult situation altogether. You're listening to the fifth quarter on 900 CHML. Yeah, let's give out some hardware. So the very first thing that we're going to do is the big play of the game. And that's going to go to Taylor Powell and his very first touchdown in the CFL on his very first pass. It was a 13-yard pass to Tim White in the third quarter with 42 seconds left. He had just come into the game for Matthew Schultz. And so that's our big play of the game. The player of the game. And as much as Tyreek McAllister got a couple of votes, the overwhelming favorite of you tonight, that went to James Butler. He had a touchdown to make it to tie the game at 6 early on, and he ran the ball a lot, and he really played very well. A fan of the Knights. Let's give that one to Jeff. Jeff was actually in Edmonton for the game with a buddy of his. He called on his way home. And, thanks for giving us a call, Jeff, and thanks for your thoughts. Thank all of you for your thoughts on the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Thank you, Ben Strawn, for being on the board. Thank you, Rick Zamperin, for taking the night off. You're listening to the fifth quarter on 900 CHML.
where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The Fifth Quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.